Sunday the 17th of March 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Doctor's Orders. Sermon title, Total Focus. Bible reading, Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. Talk by Roger Whip. The Bible reading was omitted from the original recording, so I'll read it in for you now. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 27. Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord, and now it's over to Roger.
Well, good morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, as in this passage we look at questions that you ask us, Lord, it's my prayer that each and every one of us will leave this place knowing exactly who you are and what you expect of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Maggie and I enjoy watching quizzes. Although our favourite one is The Chase, when ITV brought back Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, we were really delighted. Now, the original series aired for 30 series and a total of 592 episodes and was presented by Chris Tarrant. Yes, that's it, you got it. Now, since it first started, over 100 countries have bought and aired the programme using their own hosts. I can always remember staying with Maggie's cousin in Houston, Texas, soon after it started, and he was insistent that we watched a new exciting quiz show on his TV. And he didn't believe me when I told him that we'd been watching it for over a year and it originated in England. He wouldn't have it. There you go. But we waited until the final credits came up at the end of the programme, and it proved my point. It did speak to me eventually after that. Now, although over 6 million people watched the last series, should there be anyone here that isn't a fan or a follower, I should explain that to win £1 million, you have to answer 15 multiple choice questions with 4 options. At any time, you can stop if you feel that you have no chance of going higher and take the money that you've won. However, you do have some assistance with the options of ask the audience, phone a friend, a 50-50 where 2 incorrect answers are removed, and now in the new series, they have ask the host and the safety net that you can put in place. So if you give the wrong answer to the question, you're guaranteed to win a certain amount. Now, I hope that after this talk, not only will you know more about the programme, but have a greater understanding of today's reading, using the programme to illustrate important points. In our gospel lesson for today, we heard Jesus ask his disciples a couple of questions. Unlike Chris Tarrant or the new presenter Jeremy Clarkson, Jesus wasn't going to give them £1 million if they answered correctly. No, through his questions he wanted them to receive a far more rewarding gift, eternal life through faith in him. He then led them to realise that correct answers to his questions would have consequences in their lives for time and for eternity. He wanted them to give their final answer concerning who he was and what he'd come to do for them. Jesus' questions are still important, and today he wants each of us to give our final answer to one main question concerning who is he and what has he done for us. Now, giving the correct answer about Jesus and believing in it in our hearts won't win us that £1 million, but it will bring us all the unbelievable thing that God has promised to give all those who become children through faith in his Son. So are you ready? Who wants to play spiritual millionaire? First question. Who was right to Jesus' question, who do people say I am, and who do you say I am? Gandhi says this: I regard Jesus as a great teacher of humanity. John Lennon of the Beatles fame, I don't suppose anyone's old enough to remember the Beatles, but there you go. He said this: Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. I need to argue about that. I know I'm right and I will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting it that ruined it for me. And of course, if you speak to a Muslim, they will say that they believe in Jesus, but not as the Son of God, but they revere him as a holy prophet. And of course, Peter's answer was, you are God's Messiah. You are God's Christ. Okay, I hope that the first step to us winning that spiritual millionaire was easy to answer for most of us. But just as in the TV program, the questions, the challenges get harder. The Christian faith goes beyond knowing what others believe. It requires us to hold beliefs for ourselves. And when Jesus asked the question, who do you say I am? He wants us to take a stand. Who do you say or believe Jesus to be? Just a historical man who was a good teacher of humanity? Just a prophet? Maybe a suicide maniac? You'll never forget that he had plenty of opportunities to escape his death penalty. Well, I hope you truly believe, like Peter, that he was and still is the Messiah. The only one that can lead us along our path to win the ultimate and everlasting prize. Of course, we need to get the right answer before we can continue on our spiritual journey. And it's no good using any of our lifelines on this one. You know, asking the audience or phoning a friend isn't an option. Of course, I'm not saying that it's wrong to seek advice or listen to other people's testimonies. But when push comes to shove, only you can take that simple step of faith. That's why in the Church of England we have confirmation. The chance for you to personally and publicly announce and confirm vows that your parents and godparents made on your behalf when you were probably too young to understand the significance of baptism. Now, although it's encouraging that we hold many infant baptisms here at St. Chad's, the sad reality is how many of those children and parents ever step foot inside this church again, let alone get confirmed later in life. The reality is very few. How many of those baptised, if asked the question by Jesus now, who do you say I am? How many would give the correct answer? Now, you may disagree with me, but my interpretation and understanding of the gospel is that the ritual of infant baptism must be followed by a personal acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Master, if the ultimate reward is to be achieved. However, I do believe there is a safety net for those too young who have not been told about the reality of the gospel. And I base this on such passages as Matthew 24, verse 14, and Mark 13, verse 10, that the gospel must have been proclaimed throughout the whole world before Jesus' second coming and the day of judgment. In other words, everybody must have the opportunity to answer the 50-50 question. So although taking the step of faith is simple, it is an informed choice. You have two options. You can take it or leave it at your peril. Just as the questions in Millionaire get harder as contestants move to their ultimate reward, so can our spiritual journey. Now, our initial step of faith may be a simple task, but as our reading reveals, and as I'm sure many here can confirm, we're not promised or will receive an easy ride in life. When a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire gives a correct answer, the studio audience cheers. When someone gives the correct answer about Jesus, it stirs up a very different reaction. Jesus went on to say in our reading, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truthfully, some who are standing here will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now, just to clear up, that last passage is referring to Peter, James and John, who would 8 days later witness the Transfiguration, which is the next paragraph in the Bible. I guess, logically speaking, it's little wonder in today's mere materialistic world many more people apply to go on TV's Who Want to Be a Millionaire than apply to join Christ's church. Certainly in this country. Although Christ paid the price for our sin, being a disciple can be costly. You know, if you're struggling with your faith at the moment, just be reminded that 12 of the 13 original disciples were slaughtered for their faith. Yes, there was 13, because one replaced Judas, if you're wondering. Now, everything that we purchase has a price tag. Generally, that the higher the price, the more valuable the item is to us. Now, there is a story of someone who decided it would be great fun to break into a departmental store, not to steal, but to rearrange the price tags. High-priced items were given expensive price tags, and low-priced items were given expensive ones. When the department store opened the next morning, customers were shocked and exhilarated at all the bargains. The shop assistants and cashiers just got on with their job, paying no attention. Now, whether there is truth in this story or not, it does illustrate how we can switch the value on certain things in life. We can give more attention and value to things of little value and then degrade the truly valuable. Christianity can never come to us as a bargain. It can never be had at a wholesale price. We must be willing to pay the full price of surrender and trust. That's a quote by a guy called William A. Quantzer. Now, I guess I'm not alone when I tell you there have been many times on my Christian journey I was like some of the contestants on Millionaire. Take the money and run, so to speak. Things are getting too difficult. However, unlike the contestants, I'd be left with no reward. Now, I wonder if someone here can tell me the tagline that each contestant had to give before the correct answer was revealed. That's it. Good. I'm glad somebody's awake out there. I'm just testing. Yeah, the host would ask, wouldn't he, is that your final answer? And I would have to answer, yes, that is my final answer. At that point, there's no going back or changing your answer. That's it. End of. However, God gives us another safety net. Because there is always a way back. Maggie would tell you just prior to her near fatal car accident, she had drifted far from God. However, he never abandoned her and led her safely through the shadow of the valley of death, which in turn turned me from being an atheist to a fan, in fact, to a follower of Christ. Carl Alderman produced, an American, of course, produced a small group Bible study a few years ago called Not a Fan. And in it, he says, a fan is simply defined as an enthusiastic admirer, but not a committed follower. A concern that I have, and I'm sure many people in leadership would have in our churches today, is that when we gather together, I think there's a possibility that instead of a community of followers, we're nothing more than perhaps a stadium full of fans. We may wear a cross, but we don't bear the cross. We can come to church, we can know all the songs, open your Bible, some of you may even listen to the sermon, I don't know. And some of you may even take notes. You walk out to your car with the Jesus fish on the bumper, you say grace before lunch. But that doesn't necessarily make you a follower of Christ. We need to be determined to follow. Jesus said, follow me 20 times in the four Gospels. We can't just watch from the sidelines. We're called to be a part of a worshipping community in a church, to be a part of evangelism, that dreaded word again, and a part of journeying with others for our home groups, pastoral visits, etc. The call is that we hear God's word and we respond to it, to pray for and with others, to be part of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you can remember that on the 22nd of May 2013, when the British soldier Lee Rigby was beheaded in broad daylight outside his barracks, the press media reported that a mother and a Cub Scout leader, Ingrid Loyal Kennett, confronted the terrorist immediately after the grisly murder. She was one of the first people on the scene. While one of the terrorists held a bloodied knife, she selfishly engaged the terrorist in conversation in an attempt to prevent him from killing others. A Christian blog noted that the real factor that motivated Mrs. Kennett to risk her life to get involved was her Christian faith. She said this, I live my life as a Christian. I believe in thinking about others and loving thy neighbour, we all have a duty to look after each other. Denying self is seldom that dramatic or high profile, but it is often demanding. Mrs. Kennett understood that her faith is about far more than her own personal well-being. It's about obeying God and loving humanity. In the year 155 AD, Polycarp, the Bishop of Smyrna, was arrested. The Roman proconsul tried to persuade him to recant and save himself. All he had to do was to worship the emperor. Why was he so stubborn? The bishop answered, "For 86 years I have served Christ, and he's done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me?" He was burnt at the stake. Now, I don't want to appear insensitive in the wake of the evil slaughter at the mosques in New Zealand on Friday. I did prepare this talk before then, okay? But I often wonder how we would react if a terrorist burst into here and demanded that we denied Christ. You know, words come easy. Total commitment is much harder. A man wrote to his girlfriend, "Susie, I love you so much. I would climb the highest mountain, cross the dirtiest desert, sail the most tempestuous seas. See you Sunday if it doesn't rain." Are we fair weather Christians? Do we let the storms of life distract us from our faith? And I close with these final questions. What is the most valuable thing in our lives? What sacrifices do I or could I make as a follower of Christ? Would those around us recognise us as a fan or a follower of Christ? Or worse still, maybe neither. And one last thought. There was a lot of criticism when Jeremy Clarkson was given the role of host, taking over Millionaire from Chris Tarrant. Understandably, as Jeremy certainly has many annoying traits. He's a bit like Marmite. You either like him or hate him. He certainly is very rude and arrogant at times. However, much to the surprise of many, including Maggie and I, we think he's done a really good job as host. After all, Chris Tarrant was quite a hard act to follow. You know, he even managed to help the contestants several times with answering correctly the host lifeline. In most cases, it was a last resort because they'd used up all the other lifelines. Just think this for one moment. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all our faults and all our failures. Yet he wants to use us to bring people into his kingdom and to gain the ultimate spiritual reward. If you have never started or you're struggling on your spiritual journey, can I suggest that you ask the host, no, not Jeremy, but our heavenly host who is longing to assist you. And don't wait till the final credits appear to reveal the truth, like I mentioned earlier. Because if you do, it may cost you your everlasting life. Amen.